The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear me, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. To a person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. For if you love those who love you, what credit is there in that for you? Even sinners do as much. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit do you have? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit should you get for it? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. Rather, love your enemies, do good to them, lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you, a good measure packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured back to you." The Gospel of the Lord. We are now reflecting on chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke, which in your Bibles you will notice it's called the Sermon on the Plain. We had it on last Sunday, we have it today, and we'll still be in the text of the Sermon on the Plain on next Sunday, and then we'll get into Lent. The Sermon on the Plain is the equivalent or the parallel of the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. We've talked about that before. Matthew, being a Jewish gospel, has the Sermon on the Mount because in the Jewish tradition, God always spoke from the mountain. Mount Sinai, Mount Hermon, Mount of Transfiguration, the mountain, Mount Moriah, the Mount of the Temple in Jerusalem. God revealed on the mountain in the Hebrew tradition. And therefore, the Matthew Jewish Gospel has Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. On the other hand, Luke, a Gentile Gospel, gives what's called the Sermon on the Plain. It's a parallel. However, Matthew's Gospel is much, much longer. It takes 3 chapters. 109 verses in his Sermon on the Mount. Luke is very short, just 1 chapter, just 30 verses in his edition of this charter of the kingdom of God. And we have some of it here today in this gospel reading. We'll have some more next Sunday. So let me look at the extract we have here from the Sermon on the Plain. From these Sermon on the Mount and Sermon on the Plain, we have colloquial sayings like, go the extra mile, give the shirt off your back. Somebody takes your tunic, give him your shirt as well. Turn the other cheek. Forgive, not 7 times, but 70 times seven times. Always forgive. The Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain. The second important thing about the both of these elocutions on the teaching of Jesus is that they're addressed to disciples. Now, disciples are followers of Jesus. Apostles are those who are sent. And so a designation of apostles is a post-resurrection identity. Until after the resurrection, they're not sent. So now we're disciples. And when Jesus speaks to disciples, he's speaking to us. So this Sermon on the Plain is somehow spoken to us, where we live, where we move, and we have our life today. So let me look at what this means. Love your enemies, go the extra mile, forgive 70 times seven times, turn the other cheek. All of this brings out the best that's in us. Generosity, not greed. Forgiveness, not a grudge. Forgiveness given to those who are not deserving. Brings out the best in us. Perhaps in the past I've spoken about in the spiritual reflections on the spiritual life, we have this designation, magna anima, anima magna, the great soul, and the pusilla anima, the small soul. Have you ever felt like a small soul? When you win the argument, but you lose, and you know you're wrong? I have felt that many times in my life, where I knew I was wrong. I knew that I should have been more generous. I knew I should have listened more. I should have been more patient. But I got my way, and I was less. And then I felt at times that I followed the Word of God, and I felt I was much greater, much better for it. That's the teaching. The magna anima, the great soul, or the small soul. So what does this mean to us? It could mean a lot of things in our families. It could mean a call for healing. It could mean a call for understanding, for patience, for blessing the other person. It could mean a call to see the goodness that's easy to miss in the other person. That's the great soul. And that's the teaching of the Sermon on the Plain to disciples. That's to us. It might have a much broader application, however. So let me ask you to consider this. There's a conversation abroad these days, every day, about undocumented persons, about immigration. Clearly, we all agree that there is a need for immigration reform. There's a public trust to protect the community against drugs and against criminal elements. So there is a need for reform in our immigration system. We'll all agree on that. When you come to consider this, however, there are many seats at the table. There's a political equation, political conversation, and then there's an economic conversation about what it costs, and there's a legal conversation, and then there's a moral conversation. And unless we are reflecting in the architecture of the moral order, we'll become dehumanized. We speak of people who are humane, We admire people who are humane. We don't admire people who are inhuman. So how do we follow the moral context and the moral order? How does this sermon on the plain speak to us about the issue of undocumented persons? They're not aliens. They're not illegal aliens, they're persons. They're just like us. They pray like us. They live in our neighborhood. They belong to our ecclesial communities. They're people. They have families. They have children. And who among us has had the opportunity or taken the time to sit down with some of these families? They're not criminals. They're not drug dealers. They're people just like us. And who among us has taken time to sit down and listen to their fears, their pain, their struggles? Who among us have shared their tears? Who among us have begun to feel their insecurity, their uncertainty about the future, wondering what will happen to their children? And they're asking us to go the extra mile. Is that too much? How seriously do we want to take this gospel? Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? And if we are, is there a powerful teaching in this gospel that is meant to speak to each and every one of us in some way? Is it too much to ask to go the extra mile? Is it too much to ask that we listen? Is it too much to ask that we should belong to these brothers and sisters of ours who are struggling, looking for work, trying to raise their families, trying to dream of a future? Is it too much to ask? Or is the gospel not asking us, but demanding that in some way we reframe our thinking and we listen to the power of God's word? William Butler Yeats, a Nobel laureate, Irish poet, in his poem, The Cloths of Heaven, poetically puts it this way: since I am poor, I have nothing to offer you but my dreams, and I spread out my dreams beneath your feet. Step carefully then, you're walking on my dreams. You're walking on my dreams. Perhaps it's beyond us to go the extra mile. Could it be that the language of politics, or the language of money and the economy, and the language of legalism could be so dominant as to eclipse the language of God's word? Could it be that we've lost touch with the power of God's words, which we claim as disciples of Jesus Christ? Think about that. We need to frame our thinking as disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to speak to the world and to witness the true meaning of being followers of Jesus Christ. So we wonder, is it too much to ask to go the extra mile? Amen.